Draft. Do. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to talk, as you might have guessed from the opening chant, about the upcoming NFL draft for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Oh yeah, baby. It's almost time. 4 days to be exact from the start of round one of the 2020 National Football League draft, which, as we all know, is going to be conducted virtually this year due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Talked a little bit about this on the last show. Looking forward to some technical glitches, some people's internet connections cutting out, pausing the draft. Wouldn't you love there to be a chat option? Have you ever done the ESPN Fantasy Football League draft online where they have the little chat box at the bottom of the screen? How much would you pay for there to be a chat box option? All 32 GMs, right? They could talk shit about each other before picks, after picks. Oh no, here comes Bill O'Brien. Oh my God, he's going to take another running back. Right? Oh, nice pick, Gutekunst. Oh, shut up, Pace. How much would you pay for that? I would pay a lot. I love it. I love the draft. If you know me, if you know Chris Lempsis, you know Chris Lempsis. I said my own name wrong. You know how much Chris Lempsis loves this shit. Mel Kiper's hair, the aforementioned draft pick jingle music used by ESPN, the fact that ESPN will go to commercial immediately as the Packers are on the clock. I love it. Okay, I don't love that last one quite as much, but shit, it's a lock that it's going to happen because it happens every fucking year. You know it, I know it, the Packers are on the clock, and we'll be right back. Why? Why do they do that to us? Why do they treat a nationwide, a worldwide franchise, a worldwide fan base? Why do they treat us like the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Detroit Lions? Why is that? The goddamn disrespect from ESPN. But it's going to happen. I love the draft. And I am so excited to be talking about it with all of you today on the Lemps Talkin' Pack Draft Preview Extravaganza. First, I want to apologize for the delay. This was, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I was supposed to originally record this Wednesday night. Then when I, you know, Wednesday night, I spent the entire night compiling the format for the show. Kind of ran out of time to record it. I thought, well, I'll do it Thursday. And then I got a cold on Thursday. And it lasted into Friday and into yesterday. Yesterday, I started feeling a little better. And then today, I'm back to near 100%. So I do apologize. So as I said at the conclusion of the last episode of the show, I was going to be doing two Packers draft preview podcasts. One focusing on offense and one on defense. Then, however, after thinking about it a little more, I came up with a fun idea for what at the time was going to be my third pre-draft podcast. But, you know, three draft pre-draft pods seems like a lot, right? After all, as I've said on the show before, I don't want to give you too much Lemps. Don't want to overload you, the good people, with Lemps. Even though you might be like, hey, that's impossible. I'm guessing that's how you think. I'm very flattered you think that. It seemed like a lot, right? So instead of three, it's going to be two podcasts. And this first one is going to be co-written by you guys, my fellow Packer fans. That's right. This podcast is going to largely be a Q&A style pod, and here's why. So initially, I was going to do that thing where I ask and then answer what I think are the biggest questions surrounding this draft for the Pack. I planned on answering somewhere between 5 and 10 questions that I made up. I was going to be like, well, hopefully these are the big questions you have about this Packers draft as well. But then, you know, I was like, fuck that, right? Why don't I just let my fellow fans determine what the big questions are? That seems like more fun. You know, I give it back to you, the people. Was that a good Bane impression? That's like, what, like a 6 on the 1 to 10 Bane impression? That's pretty good, right? If it sucks, I'm sorry. I love that movie. I always wanted to do like a Bane impression at some point on the show, and I've been doing this for what, over 2 years now? It's the first time. Check that box. So that'll be the format for this episode. I'll take your questions, comments, concerns, etc. And sure, I'll steer the conversation here and there, too, tossing in some stuff, even if it's entirely unprompted. But mostly, this is going to be us doing this together. And then the final podcast I'll be doing pre-draft is going to be... You know what? I'm going to save that for the end of the show. Stick around. I do think you're going to like the idea. Before we get into the fun, quick shameless self-promotion. Twitter, LempsMKE. At It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. And the email, which no one has sent me an email. Well, the emails have been more sparse, I should say. Is Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Any draft questions? Any thoughts you have on the draft? Shoot me a line. I'd love to hear it. And if you're listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. We like those the most. 4 stars, those are good too. Anything else, keep that shit to yourself. A comment would be great. I got a comment last week. Someone saying they liked the show, but I was pronouncing Oregon wrong. Apparently it's Oregon. If so, I've been saying it wrong my entire life. I posted on Twitter. Some people said I was saying it wrong. Some said I was saying it right. So I might just alternate. I might just say Oregon, Oregon. Because it's going to come up in the show, the name of the state. So, at least I'll get it right 50% of the time now. Okay, so now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right into this MF-er, shall we? These are, again, questions and comments sent in by you, my fellow Packers fans. Actually, first... let's start by talking about where people want Green Bay to go, at least initially in this draft. I ran a poll on Twitter last week, Wednesday to be exact, posing a very simple question. The Packers are on the clock at 30, and they're keeping the pick. Obviously, it's impossible to know who's still available, but if you had your way, they would draft, and I said offense or defense. Of all the people that voted, 84% said offense. 84%. 16% said defense. So I found that interesting. I think fans have tired of seeing the team go defense high damn near every single year, and I think fans can't help but notice the obvious talent drain that the offense has suffered because of it. How could you not? Now, I think fans know the defense still has to be addressed. I mean, how could you not after that NFC Championship game? Shit, did Raheem Mostert just pick up another 5 yards on the Packers defense? How did he do that? It's April 19th. Is that joke? How's that joke doing for you guys? It's still funny for me. But at least right off the bat, offense seems to be the name of the game for a lot of Packer fans, which, again, I totally understand. Okay. So now I'm going to get into your questions and comments. And speaking of offensive positions, I definitely got more than one comment or question regarding the possibility of the Packers taking a quarterback in the draft. In fact, that might have been the thing people most wanted to talk about. So let's get to this first question. It's from Philip Voss. At @P_Voss on Twitter. He asks, how many torches should we light if they draft a middling QB prospect with pick 30 or 62? Okay. I don't know if we should light any torches, Philip. But I think people are going to be upset. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's hard to blame them. I'll be up front. I'm not really looking for them to draft a quarterback this year. Let me rephrase it. I don't want them to draft a quarterback this year. I think they're going to. It's not something I think they need. This was a team a game away from the Super Bowl. Like, you need to add more firepower to get over the hump, get in, and get Rodgers one more championship. Now, I know people are going to say, well, you know, they did this with Favre back in 05. They were a playoff team. They were coming off a playoff appearance that year. Little different. That team got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. This Packer team last year, although they had holes, they were, I would say, much better than that 2004 Packers team. Like, you could see, and with that 04 team, you could kind of see the writing on the wall that they probably weren't going to be a Super Bowl team. Or I should say, in hindsight, you could say. At the time, I didn't want them to draft a quarterback in 05 either. But in hindsight, you go, that team wasn't very good in 04. They won the division, but they weren't, even if they had taken a non-quarterback in round one, they weren't going to get to the Super Bowl. Especially since Ted basically begun tearing the team down right after that. So, I'm rambling. Hope that made sense. But, you know, this team is, it really has a chance. Why would you take a quarterback now? I don't understand it. You know? More thoughts on that in a minute. Okay, slightly average, slightly above average Bucks fan. At average Bucks fan. Sir, you sent in a question. You are not slightly above average. You are definitely at least above average. He asks, say the Packers are looking to take a QB in the draft. Who do you want them to take? And is there a certain round you would want it to be in? Okay, so I'll talk about some of the quarterbacks that, you know, because I even though I'm not on board with it, as I just said, I do think they're going to take one. And we have to remember, they almost took Drew. They were going to take Drew Lock from Missouri last year in round two before Denver jumped up to get him. Now, obviously, the Packers got Elgton Jenkins. Hey, that worked out pretty well. So it stands to reason that if they were going to do that last year, probably going to do it this year. Or they were looking to do it last year, they're probably looking to do it this year. So even though I don't, it's not something I'm on board with, if they are to do it, here are some QBs I like. There's two. Jacob Eason from the University of Washington and Jordan Love from Utah State. Now, Jordan Love obviously has been connected to the Packers. He did a pre-draft virtual visit with them, I believe. Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network draft guru, mocked Love to the Packers in his most recent mock last week. So there seems to be some smoke there. Start by talking about Eason. He's a big kid. He's got a cannon arm. Look, the thing about Eason and Love, they both have really strong arms. Now, I'm not one of these, you have to have a howitzer for an arm. You don't have to have a cannon to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. You don't. In Green Bay, though, you do. In Green Bay, look, we all know the football season weather in Green Bay sucks. It's cold, it's rainy, it's windy, it snows. Yeah, you have to have a strong arm to cut through all that shit. Favre had it, Rodgers had it. I do think it's a must in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So Love and Eason both have that. Eason's a big kid. He's not great on the move. He's not the most mobile guy. But, you know, he's a little erratic, but I think you can coach that up. I like his arm talent. I like his ability to make tough throws. I think if they were to take Eason, that would be something I would think about. I would hope they don't do it until like the third round, at the very least. And then Love, wouldn't take him in round one. I suppose if he's there in round two and they took him, if he's there in round two, they'll probably take him. So this is a weird question. I don't want them to take one. I'm more saying these are the guys I like. And here's where I'd be understanding of them taking him. I hope that makes sense. A couple of quarterbacks I don't like. I don't like Jake Fromm from Georgia. And I don't like Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. Big reason? Weak arms. Hey, how about that? Neither one of them has arms. Has optimal arm strength to play in Green Bay. You know, Fromm, I hear a lot of, well, you know, he won a lot of games. Oh, he won a lot of games at Georgia? Georgia's like a goddamn NFL team. Oh, he won a lot of games at Georgia. Ooh, impressive. Come on, man. And Hurts is a great athlete. I like Hurts more than Fromm. Fromm might be the quarterback I like least. I like Hurts more because of his athleticism. But again, the arm strength seems lacking. I'm not into either one of those. And then a quarterback I've kind of gone back and forth on is James Morgan from Green Bay. Hometown kid, played his high school ball to Schwabenon High before going on to Florida International. Well, Bowling Green first, then he transferred to Florida International. He's got a strong arm. he can rip it. He can make tight throws. He's erratic. I've gone a little bit back and forth on him. he's sort of similar to Eason to me, but I don't think his competition level was as good. If they were to take Morgan, I would hope they don't do that until day three, fourth round at the earliest. So, I hope that answers. I hope that answered your question. And then the final quarterback question comes from my old pal, OG, All Bag of Donuts host. Remember, we were a three-man pod. Myself, Adam Summers, the man, the myth, the legend, Gene Bosling. He asks, Gene, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't answer this on the air because it's such a goddamn long question. Okay, let's say they draft a QB in the first couple of rounds. Doesn't have to be round one, but let's say it's fairly high. How worried should we be about how QB12 will handle this? He's gone out of his way at certain times in his career to not act like Favre, despite the eerie Kennedy-Lincoln-like parallels between their careers. But this could be one of those times where he wants a receiver, and they instead take his successor with a second-year head coach left to manage his whole thing. Could they make this work, or are we headed for some turbulence if that happens? Okay. A lot to unpack there in Geno's question. Do I think Rodgers would be unhappy? Yes, I do. He said all the right things publicly. You know, what did he say a couple months ago? Doesn't matter to me if they take a quarterback. He's not going to be able to beat me for the job or whatever. I do think he'd be pissed. Yeah, he'd probably keep it quiet. But there's always a fair amount of passive aggressiveness with Aaron Rodgers. Anyways, passive aggression? Aggressiveness? However you say it. I don't think he'd be happy about it. The thing is, if you take a quarterback, here's why. Let's say they take a quarterback, if they took Love at 30, right? Okay. First round picks have 4-year contracts with a 5th-year option. How long do you realistically think Jordan Love is going to be willing to sit? Jordan Love and Jordan Love's representatives are going to be okay with him sitting a year, maybe two. I don't think he's going to sit for, be willing to sit for 3 years like Aaron Rodgers did. It's a different time now than it was 15 years ago. You know, the kids now want to play. I suppose they always have, but it feels like even more so now. So if you take Jordan Love at 30, you're basically telling Aaron Rodgers, okay, Aaron, about 2 more years. And then we're getting ready to move on. You're basically time-stamping the end of his time in Green Bay. Or you're going to get to the end of 2 years. Rodgers is still playing at a high level. Love's reps say it's time to play him or trade him. You're going to trade Love? You think you're going to get a first-round pick in return? Probably not. Maybe a second-round pick. So what did you do? You had a backup. You basically rented a backup for 2 years and then traded him for less than you gave up to get him. Does that make any sense? Not really. Now, if they think Aaron Rodgers only has a couple of years left, I guess they could do it, but it just seems like you're setting yourself up for ugliness. Do you know what I mean? You're basically telling Aaron Rodgers, like, again, about 2 more years, Aaron. I don't think he's going to handle that well. No, I don't. I don't. And I think it could get real messy. So it just doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do this year. I think maybe next year, because I do think this is a huge year. If you listen to the State of the Pack series, I talked about Rodgers and how I think this is a huge year for him to show where he's going to go the rest of his career. Yeah, I do. And if 2020, if he's takes another step down in 2020 from last year, then I think next year you definitely look into taking a quarterback. But I still think they're a year away. Call me crazy. I think they're a year away. Okay. Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball now and talk about wide receivers. That was another popular topic amongst those who sent along a question or comment, and with good reason. The wide receiver class this year is historically loaded, which lines up perfectly for a Packers team that needs, in my opinion, if you've been listening to the show, you know what I'm going to say, they have to draft at least 2 this year. Now, I don't think Green Bay will be able to get the top 4 guys at the position. That's CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs III from Alabama, or LSU's Justin Jefferson. Packer fans, especially with Jefferson, let the dream die. I keep seeing people going, maybe he'll be there. Justin Jefferson will not. I will eat a shoe if Justin Jefferson is on the board at 30. I will sing on Wisconsin if Justin Jefferson is on the board at 30. He won't be. There's no, it seems impossible to me. But the Pack should have their pick of any of the remaining receivers at 30, should they keep the pick. Which brings me to another Twitter poll I ran last week, again on Wednesday, talking about what I believe is the second tier of receivers and who fans would like most. I asked, you get your pick of wide receivers in this draft minus the top four, which one do you pick? I listed Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State, TCU's Jalen Reagor, Clemson's T. Higgins, and Baylor's Denzel Mims. Sorry, one second here. Yes. Sorry about that. Had a quick technical glitch. Okay. Of the people who voted, 37.8% said Brandon Ayuk. Warm to my heart. 31.1% said Reagor. 17.6% said Higgins. And 13.5% said Mims. It's funny that the poll worked out that way, because that's exactly how I see that second tier of receivers in terms of a ranking. Ayuk, Reagor, Higgins, Mims. Now, here's why. Ayuk, to me, as far as offensive players at 30, I'm not going to lie, he's become the apple of my eye. He has. He is explosive. He's got good size. He can make plays at all three levels. He can take a short hitch and take it to the house. He can beat guys deep. He can go over the middle. Like, I love everything about the kid. He seems like he's exactly what this Packers offense is missing. And I would love to see what LaFleur could do with him, even right away as a rookie. Reagor, not quite as big. He's a little faster than Ayuk. I mean, he's explosive. He didn't run well in his 40, but I don't worry about that. I've talked, I think, on the show before about Bill Walsh, functional football speed. I mean, Reagor has that in abundance. This kid's a burner. I've seen him compared to Percy Harvin, Stephon Diggs, in terms of his speed. I think that's fair. He didn't have great quarterback play last year. You put him with Rodgers. I like that pairing. Higgins is not, he's got good size. He's not a burner. I like his ability to make plays deep, to beat guys one-on-one. I think he'd be a nice fit. And Mims, everybody kind of fell in love with Mims after the Senior Bowl and after the, was it the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Bowl? And then the Combine. He, to me, is raw. He's more, at this point, athlete than football player. I think the bust potential on him is pretty high. I don't know. That he worries me. He does. And then after that tier, I'd say the third tier of receivers is probably in order. KJ Hamler from Penn State. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC. I'm now old enough to where the guys I grew up watching have kids in this draft. John Runyon from Michigan, his son is in this draft. His son played at Michigan too. Shit, John Runyon, I played at Philadelphia as a pro. His son, who went to Michigan like his dad, is available in this draft. I grew up watching Michael Pittman. I mean, I grew up, I was in like college when Michael Pittman played for Tampa. His kid's in this draft? How old am I? Where does time go? Is time a flat circle? And then, that would have been deep. And then Chase Claypool from Notre Dame, I would put him in that tier too. Now, Hamler, he's like Reagor, he's small, but he's explosive. He's probably primarily a slot guy. Had some hands issues, but I think he's, you know, I think he's got some big potential. Pittman, I know a lot of Packer fans like Pittman. I don't know. I see a guy who's up, whose ceiling is probably wide receiver two. You know, and if I'm taking a guy in the first or second round, I'm hoping he at least could become wide receiver one. Especially look at the Packers. I mean, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Devontae, all guys taken in the second round. All guys that became wide receiver one. So, you know, and Cobb was a borderline wide receiver one in his Green Bay prime. I don't see that with Pittman. I see a guy who's a number two receiver. He makes plays. He's good on the deep balls, but I don't know. He just lacks that thing I'm looking for. And Claypool's an athletic freak. He, you know, he's a guy you can move around, create matchups. I think he had big numbers at Notre Dame last year, but I think it might take a minute to figure out how to use him and where to line him up in the NFL. I wouldn't totally be against that pick, but, you know, these guys, Hamler and Claypool, these are guys I wouldn't even be thinking about until round two. Pittman, I wouldn't take until round three. Pittman, kind of James Jonesy to me. So Jones was a third round pick. That feels about right for Pittman. And then some wide receivers I don't really like. Laviska Shenault. Shenault, am I saying that right? Junior from Colorado. Oof. What position is he? I see the Deebo Samuel comparisons. Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? He's had some injury stuff. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones. All hype. No production. Very little production. Michigan. Wait. Didn't we just do this last year with a defensive player named Rashawn Gary? We're going to do this again? A Michigan guy who's all hype and all athleticism, but you look at his numbers, he doesn't have anything that jumps out at you? I don't really like either of those two. Pass. Super pass. I'm out on both of them. And now we come, for what likely is the final time, to the part where I stump hard for Tyler Johnson. But first, a question. For my buddy Travis Brolowski, used to be in an epic fantasy football league with this dude, at Brillo_the_cat. We know you love T. Johnson, but he must have some flaws other than being a gopher. Ouch. Or he'd be named with the first rounders. Putting bias aside, what does he need to do? What does he need to do better to be the Pack's future superstar? Okay. Brillo's a Badger fan. He had to get that shot in there. God damn it. I'll say this. I don't think Tyler Johnson's a superstar. I think Tyler Johnson's ceiling is, I hope this makes sense, middle class Davante Adams. Not a poor man's Davante Adams. He's a middle class Davante Adams. And I think his ceiling, that's his ceiling, and I still think his floor is, you know, maybe a little lesser James Jones. Like, what does he need to do? Well, he's just not fast. He's not a burner. And that definitely hurt. He never ran the 40 this year. That hurt. People don't really know what his 40 time is, so you only have to go off the tape. The thing is, if you watch the tape, all you're going to see, I watched every game he played in college. Probably know by now, I'm a University of Minnesota alum, Sky Uma. I watched every game he played in college. Like, the kid just made plays. The first 2.5 years he was in college, he didn't even have a quarterback. It wasn't really until midway through his junior year that Tanner Morgan kind of took over the job as quarterback and brought some real stability there. You know? But he was still making plays those first 2.5 years. And then when he got a quarterback, he took it up another notch. You know? If you watch Tyler Johnson, you're just going to see a kid who makes plays. Is he primarily a slot guy in the pros? That's what a lot of people are saying. I think you could line him up outside. He's great off the line. He did to guys in college what Devontae does to guys in the pros as far as release, footwork, using his head to fake guys out, his body to fake guys out, body control. He's got all that. Who better to pair him up with than Devontae? I've said this a million times. You know? So no, I don't think he'll be a superstar. But I think he could be a very productive guy, especially in the red zone, for quite some time in the NFL. Would love him in Green Bay. Think you maybe can get him in the fourth round, although the Packers are picking so late in the fourth, especially when you factor in the comp picks at the end of the third. You may have to take him in the third round, although I would. This isn't just me being a homer. I think this kid has legit ability in the NFL. will be a legit producer in the NFL. Now, obviously, the quarterback and wide receiver chatter has drawn a lot of attention from Packers fans, as you would expect. But could Goot surprise us and go somewhere else in round one? That brings me to this question from Rusty Weiss, at Rusty Weiss on Twitter. Okay, my theory. Need to re-sign Clark and Bakhtiari in 21, so King Lindsley will leave. That's why they've been talking to cornerbacks to target the draft. With Jenkins, they could target either center or guard. Not a great draft for guards, but good centers could be there even in the third round. It's a great question, Rusty. There's been some talk, some mocks putting Cesar Ruiz from Michigan to the Packers at 30. I do think that's a possibility. It's one that a lot of people haven't talked about, but it would present... Ruiz looks like a really great prospect, by the way. Everything you read about him, watch, he looks great. Looks like he could be an impact starter from day one in the same way Jenkins was. He would present the Packers with a lot of interesting options. You could, if you were to draft Ruiz, you could sit, you could, because I think he could play guard. He started out his career at Michigan playing guard, and then he moved to center. You could plug him in at, well, let me back up a little bit. You could potentially trade Corey Linsley. That's the thing I don't think will happen. But you could. If you wanted to open up some cap space for, you know, the Clark contract, the Bakhtiari extension that's probably coming, even re-signing Kevin King or Aaron Jones. I mean, I think we all kind of understand this is probably Corey Linsley's last year in Green Bay. If you were to draft Ruiz, you could plug him in at center, trade Corey Linsley for future, you know, get some draft picks either this year or next year. Opens up some money. You could have Ruiz for depth. You would be able to then get rid of Lane Taylor, which again would open up some money for either your future extensions, or if you wanted to get one of these free agents left on the market, like Snacks Harrison, Delaney Walker, if you wanted to bring Tremont Williams back, you would have more money to do that by releasing Lane Taylor. So Ruiz definitely would give them some interesting options. He's either a plug-and-play guy from day one or depth that would then allow them to cut other players, opening up cap space. There's some other centers that I think the Packers might look at in this draft. Let me get my list here. There's Nick Harris from Washington. Lloyd Cushenberry III from LSU. I don't know if those... Cushenberry, I think, might be a round one, round two guy. But yeah, there's some, you know, there's some definitely, like Rusty said, there's some centers. Oh yeah, there's some centers the Packers could be looking at. If it's not Ruiz, it's probably not until day two. But it could definitely happen. Branch out now. Let's talk about the offensive tackle position. Now that seems like a need. Many have said it is a need. And of course, Green Bay could look to draft one. If it happens, I do think it will happen within the first two rounds. But here's why I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit and say that would disappoint me a little bit. Your old pal Chris would be a little bit bummed by that. Now, I talked about Ruiz and having depth. They're actually deeper on the offensive line than people think. By keeping Lane Taylor, which at this point it looks like they're going to, and Lucas Patrick, they've got both guard and the center position covered. Because Patrick can play center. He did last year. Was it the Detroit game, I believe? So they've got both. They've got two guys covering three spots. And they've already got people go, oh, they have no depth at tackle. They kind of do. Billy Turner. If Rick Wagner, for example, were to stink or get hurt, slide Billy Turner out to tackle, kick either Patrick or Lane Taylor up to guard, and you move. Billy Turner basically is a backup tackle. I know some fans go, why did they pay him so much? Because he's versatile. That's why. He's not a great player. He's good, solid. But because he's versatile. So everybody's saying, well, they need a tackle. They need a tackle. They don't really, you know. Plus, Valdir's still on the market, which I mentioned on the last, I believe it was the last episode. If the draft doesn't fall the way they want at that position. They could bring Jared Veld here back and just have Lane Taylor, Jared Veld here, and Lucas Patrick as your backups. And you would have all five positions covered with three backup players. That's pretty good. So I don't think it's a must. I know everybody says it's a must. They keep seeing these mocks. Packers have to take a tackle. It's not a must. Not to me, anyway. Now, if they were, I will talk about the tackles. I don't think they're going to be in a position to take Thomas or Wirfs or Wills Jr. or Becton. I know Becton just failed the drug test, and a lot of fans were like, oh, maybe he'll fall to 30. He's probably not going to fall to 30. Probably let that dream go. If they do go there, here are some tackles I think will be there that I like. I like Austin Jackson from USC. I think the kid's got a lot of upside. He's, you know, hang on a second here. Having a little glitch. He's got a lot of athleticism. I think he could be a guy who could be a left tackle. You know, he could come in. I think you can plug him in at, well, let me rephrase that. I think he'd be a good guy to sit for a year and develop, but he's got athleticism. I think you can develop him into a player. Wouldn't need to play right away. Again, with the Packers already having three tackles ahead of him, Bakhtiari, Wagner, and then Billy Turner. So he could sit for a year, get better. You can hone it. He's a young kid. He hasn't even turned 21 years old yet. I like him. And I think he's a guy, you could draft him, develop him, he could play right tackle, and if in 3-4 years Bakhtiari's time is up, you slide Austin Jackson over and he could be your left tackle. You gotta like that. I like that kid. Some guys have kind of gone back and forth on Josh Jones from Houston, Isaiah Wilson from Georgia, both very sort of, you know, they're athletic. Wilson's a huge, I mean, Wilson's 6'7", 340, but he's fucking huge. He's a big kid. He's, you know, I kind of worry about guys that big. And then, Josh Jones from Houston, I know a lot of Packer fans love him. He was great at the Senior Bowl. You know, I think he's a bit of a, I don't know, he just, there's something about him. Sometimes I watch him, I read him, I go, I like it. And then some of the stuff I hear, I react, I don't know. I'm back and forth on him. And then there's an offensive tackle who sort of terrifies me. That's Ezra Cleveland from Boise State. Everybody goes, oh, he's such a good athlete. And you watch footage of him and it's like, I don't know. It just feels like something's missing there. I did want to talk about a tackle who they could take a little bit later on, maybe day two. Maybe even early day three is Ben Bartsch from St. John's. If you're from the Midwest, you know St. John's is a D3 powerhouse. He's really good. He's big. How big is Ben Bartsch? I gotta look that up. Hang on one second. He's 6'6". I mean, he's a big kid, you know? He would be a project. I mean, I don't think you're gonna go from D3 to starting, but again, the Packers have the depth there, they could afford to sit him for a year, maybe even two if they had to, before he'd be ready to play. So he's a guy I'm kind of intrigued by, yeah. Again, I don't think tackle's a must position, but those are some thoughts on some of the guys that I think Green Bay would be in a position to take. And then, almost 40 minutes into the show, one last area on offense people wanted to talk about was tight end, which leads to a question from Theo Brixton at DJ Slim Pickens on Twitter. Packers have a need at tight end. I always wanted Randy in Green Bay. I love this question. I always wanted Randy in Green Bay. And based solely on those two things, I want us to pick Thaddeus. How irrational am I? Theo is obviously talking about Thaddeus Moss, tight end from LSU, the son of Randy Moss. Packers killer Randy Moss. He ruined a lot of goddamn Sundays in my house growing up, I'll tell you what. You're not crazy. Theo, you're not irrational. I wouldn't be looking to take Moss until the fourth or more likely fifth round. He's a day three guy. He's not Randy. he's not like a great athlete. He's more of an H-back type guy. the tight end class this year overall is not great, to say the least. Jace Sternberger, if he were to be coming out this year, he might have been the best tight end in the group. He probably would be. You know, we should all be jumping for joy that Green Bay got Jace last year, because, damn, you know, they probably wouldn't get him in the third round this year, I'll tell you that. So, no, you're not crazy. I would have some interest in him, but that would be a day three thing. But, you know, he'd be a guy who could maybe complement Sternberger well down the road as more of a blocking type. That would be, yeah. No, not crazy. I could see it. Okay, 40 minutes in, enough offense. No more offensive questions. The book is closed. Let's move over to the defense, an area that, yes, still needs quite a bit of work. Most of the pre-draft chatter amongst Packers fans has focused on the D-line and inside linebacker spots. Don't worry, I'm going to get to them in a little bit. But we begin here with a question about a different spot, one not getting as much attention. It's from Andrew G. at Da Swish Dude. Do you think the Pack could target a cornerback early since King's deal is up at the end of the season? Yes. Although, like with offensive tackle, I view that spot as not as big of a need as a lot of other Packers fans do. Here's why. I mentioned on the show I love Chandon Sullivan. I still do. I think he's definitely going to be the number three corner this year. He's going to have that role. I could even see him growing into being a number two corner. Who knows? I like that kid's game. And I mentioned a few minutes ago, they could still bring Tremon Williams back for one more year if this draft doesn't shake out the way they want at corner. So, you know, they could go Jair, Kevin King, Chandon Sullivan, and Tremon Williams for one more year and then go for cornerback next year. Yeah. To me, it's not a huge need, because I'll be honest, I know a lot of Packers fans think King is a goner at the end of this year. I'm not sure if he is. I kind of think he's coming back. If he has another solid season like he did last year and he stays healthy, you know, King and Jair could be a pretty good pairing for a long time. So, but yes, his deal is up. So if they aren't sure, there are some guys I think they could be looking at. Pull up my cornerback list here. Let's go with some of the guys I don't think will be there. Okuda from Ohio State, Henderson from Florida, Fulton from LSU. I doubt Terrell from Clemson is there. Could they look at Terrell Diggs from Alabama or Trevon Diggs from Alabama? Yeah. Gladney from TCU is another guy I think could be there. The kid from Auburn. Oh my God, I'm going to botch his name. Igbinoghene. Oh God, I probably got that so wrong. I'm sorry. Noah, if you're listening, I'm sorry. And then Jalen Johnson from Utah. Well, let's talk the first three. I think are guys that could be there at 30 if they do surprise us and go there, or surprise me. Jalen Johnson from Utah, Bryce Hall from Virginia. These are guys that could be there in round two. All these guys I mentioned, by the way, are all at least 5'10", so you have to like that. They definitely all fit the size profile that the Packers like. But again, I don't think it's a spot they need to address early. I am in the minority there. Well, let's switch gears and talk about why they need to address the front seven. My top two inside linebackers, the initial two apples of my eye in this draft, Patrick Queen from LSU, Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. Still love those two. Now, I will say, as we near draft day, I'm becoming more pessimistic that either of those two are going to be there at 30. I hate saying that because I think both, especially Kenneth Murray, other than Ayuk, there's nobody in this draft I love more than Kenneth Murray. Again, I've said before, he is everything you're looking for from a modern day inside linebacker in the NFL. Sideline to sideline speed, hits like a ton of bricks, can cover, kid does it all. I don't know if either one of them is going to be there at 30. I kind of doubt it at this point. Zach Bond from Wisconsin is another guy. Now, he's not strictly an inside linebacker. He's more of a move piece. He could play some off-ball stuff. He could play him inside. He could rush off the edge. Like, he's more of a move-around guy. I do find him intriguing a little bit. He have a diluted sample? So he may be there at 30 now. I've warmed up. I continue to warm up on Bond, although I don't like him as much as Quinnen Murray. I still don't. And then there are some other interesting day two options I've been looking at for the Packers. Day two, even early day three. Akeem Davis Gaither from App State. I like him. I mentioned Troy Dye, I believe was the last show. I love Troy Dye from Oregon or Oregon. I'm just going to say both. I still think Dye would be a perfect complement to Christian Kirksey. Kirksey's more of the run stopper. Dye can cover. I think they'd be a great kind of platoon pairing. Willie Gay from Mississippi State, he had a bunch of off-field stuff. He, like, punched a teammate in the eye. Was it a quarterback? He got kicked out of a game, and then he had something else, and I can't remember what it was. But he makes plays. If you think he's going to mature and not be a pain in the ass, and I do think the Packers have a locker room strong enough to where they could take a guy like that, and the locker room could kind of mold him and handle him, get him going the right way. Not against that. Logan Wilson from Wyoming, he's more of a day three guy. I've seen him compared to Nick Kwiatkowski a little bit. And then Jordan Brooks from Texas Tech is in that late day two, early day three range. But I think those guys all have strengths, and I think those guys, if the Packers strike out on Queen and Murray and Bond, I think those guys could all come in and fill a role. Sure. Yeah. It's got to be addressed. The inside linebacker position has to be addressed. It just does. Within the first three rounds. Has to. The defensive line, another position that has to be addressed. The Packers got bullied all last year in the run game. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. Big, strong guys who are fucking hard to move. That's what they need up front. It's a must. They have to do it. Right now, their defensive linemen are Kenny Clark, who's a stud, Tyler Lancaster, Dean Lowry, and Kingsley Keke, and Montrevious Adams. They need one, at least one in this draft. One, if they're going to try to get, like, Snacks Harrison in. Two, if they're not going to get Snacks Harrison. Yeah. I think they do, you know? Now, there's some... Do you want to talk about some of the players I like on the defensive line? Derek Brown, Kinlaw, they're not going to be there. There's a lot of guys I think will be there at 30, though, that are interesting to me. Ross Blacklock from TCU, I've warmed up to quite a bit. He makes plays. He's explosive. He looks like a guy who'd be a nice fit next to Kenny Clark. Matabike, that one I know I'm pronouncing right because I literally learned... I looked it up, and I repeated it over and over again until I got it right. Justin Matabike from Texas A&M. He's another guy. He's a big, strong kid. He's hard to move. I like him. Devon Hamilton from Ohio State, 6'4", 320, a kid who didn't do much. I talked about him on the last episode. Didn't do much until his senior year, but he's a guy I like. I think he's a guy whose play, you want to draft guys who are only getting better. This kid fits that mold. I like him a lot. I think if you're going to take Blacklock, you're going to have to take him at 30. Matabike, maybe 30. He might be there in round two, but I don't know. And then Hamilton, I think you're looking at more in that round three range. Some players that kind of worry me. Jordan Elliott from Missouri is a name I've seen a little bit with the Packers and some of these extended round mocks. He's very boom or bust to me. The motor runs hot and cold. I don't know. I like Rashard Lawrence from LSU. That's a guy I do like. He, again, is probably in that round three range. 6'2", 308. He's a run-stuffing kid. He's a big, squat kid that's hard to move. I like Lawrence. Lawrence could be an asset for the Packers. Yeah. So those are some of the D linemen I like. Let's talk about some of the other guys. There's Leaky Futu from Utah, 6'5", 330 pounds. Holy shit. He would be a nice addition. He's in that, fourth, fifth round. I kind of like, who's the other kid I like? I got his name here. A couple of Baylor guys I like. James Lynch, Bravion Roy. Roy, 6'1", 333 pounds. That kid, you talk about a run stopper, this kid could be that kid. I like him. Think he's more in that fifth round range. But, I mean, if you were going to take, like, if they were going to double up at the position, if they came out of this with, like, Devon Hamilton and Bravion Roy, I'd have two guys I'd be like, I know they can play the run now. Or Rashard Lawrence and Bravion Roy, I'd go, oh, they got two guys. I know they're going to be harder to bully at the line of scrimmage because they've added these two kids. That's what I think they need, you know? The Packers, they got punked. And I want to see that come to an end, don't you? And then one more defensive player I'm going to stump for. I'm going to stump for my guy, Antoine Winfield Jr. Safety, University of Minnesota. I love the kid. Look, is safety a huge need for the Packers? No. But is a defensive playmaker a weapon or is a need? Of course. Yeah. They still need more playmakers. Antoine Winfield Jr., another guy I watched every game he played at Minnesota. The kid can do it all. He covers. He covers. Go watch his interception in the first quarter. He had two in the game against Penn State. His interception in the first quarter against Penn State. He covers. The receiver's name escapes me. He covered downfield like a corner. You know? He doesn't cover deep like a safety. He covers like a corner. Well, of course. His old man was a corner for how many years? How many fits did Antoine Winfield Sr. cause us Packers fans? A lot. So, he covers like a cornerback. You know? He plays the run. He comes up and plays the run. He tackles really well. He blitzes. You can blitz him off the edge and he's a weapon. You know? Primarily a safety, you know, but I think you could move. I think you could play slot corner because, again, he does have that ability. He could play slot corner. I even think he could play outside corner in a pinch. Not for, like, an extended stretch, but I think in a pinch you could get by with him out there. He's fast enough. He's athletic enough. I love the kid. What's his position in the pros? Weapon X. That's his goddamn position. That kid makes plays. How much fun could Mike Pettine have with him? How much fun could Mike Pettine have with Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, and Antoine Winfield Jr.? Matchup nightmares. You can mix and match and move them all around. Flexibility. I love the kid. And here's the added bonus. Vikings fans really want him because his dad played there. So we'd be sticking it to the Vikings by taking him. So wouldn't that be fun? I'm just saying, they have bigger needs, but if he's there at 30 and they take him, I'm going to be over the moon. I am. I'm going to buy an Antoine Winfield jersey probably the next day. Even though I don't like the Nike jerseys, I'm buying one. So, had to do my little stump speech for Antoine Winfield Jr. And then I do have one more question regarding the defense. So it's not a draft-related one. I did find it interesting. From Justin Cornwell. Justin, at Justin A. Cornwell, does the COVID uncertainty make you feel better about keeping Pettine? Nice to not have to worry about installing a new defense when they're able to start up again, especially since everything could be shortened. It's an interesting question, and I do think I feel better about it now. Absolutely, yeah, because there'll be a familiarity with the scheme. The players will know the scheme. Hopefully Pettine makes some tweaks to the scheme, but it won't be a complete overhaul. So yeah, I do feel better about keeping Pettine. That's a great question, Justin. And if they give Pettine some more weapons, a Kenneth Murray or Blacklock or Matabike or Antoine Winfield Jr., that'll only help. So hopefully that covers any questions. That was a really great question. Hopefully that covers any questions people might have about the defense. Now I'm going to move to an interesting question regarding some possible trade scenarios. Christopher Karlecki, at Chris Karlecki on Twitter, asks, we always hear/read about first-round trade downs. Could you present a trade-up scenario, 5 to 10 spots or so, and what it may look like? Also, maybe 5 to 10 spots trade-up in the second, so we have an idea what that could cost, too. I will do that for you, Chris. My fellow Chris, I will do that. Okay, so a trade up in round one. You're talking 5 to 10 spots, so let's go in that, like, let's say the Packers were to move up with Bill Belichick. Patriots kind of seem like maybe they're rebuilding a little bit. They're going to maybe tear things down a little bit. Post Tom Brady. That would be a what would that be? Seven spots. Now, I'm using the Draft Tech website, which goes off the Jimmy Johnson model. I know there are other models. I prefer the Jimmy Johnson model most. So, they've got the 30th pick at 620 points value. To go up to 23, that is the 23rd pick has a value of 760 points. So, 140 points. The Packers' third round pick is valued at 124 points. So you would, to do that move just off the points value, 140 points, 100 and, they'd need about 16 more points. So that would be, you can find that in their sixth, one of their sixth round, their first sixth round pick is 13.4. That was a lot of numbers. You're not going to be quizzed on it. So to go up from 30 to 23, it would cost the Packers their third round pick and a sixth. So it would be a steep, price to go up. It definitely would be very, very steep. Too rich for my blood. Even if it's for a guy like Murray or Queen or Jefferson, it's too rich for my blood. The Packers have too many holes. I'm not into it. You talk about a trade up in round two. Obviously they'll be a little cheaper. So let's say the Packers' second round pick, number 62, has a 284-point value. Let's say they wanted to move up, but just off the top of my head, the Los Angeles Rams, five picks ahead of them. The Rams obviously need draft picks. They're very, you know, cash strapped. Their pick has a 330-point value, so you're looking at about 46 points the Packers would need to make up to make that move. You can find that in their fourth round pick and the second of their three sixth round picks. So to go from 62 to 57 in round two would cost Green Bay their four and one of their sixes, the middle of their six, their three sixth round picks. So again, not nothing. You know what I mean? You'd be giving up the fourth round. There's a lot of value in those fourth round picks, I think. And that just, that would be a lot to move up into round two. I wouldn't do it. So that does, I hope that gives you an idea of what it would cost Green Bay. And then lastly, we close the questions. I don't even know what category to put this in, so I'm giving it its own category. Rants from a best friend and former co-host. Brew Crewer at @ASummers_time, my bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers. It is Saturday morning and the Packers haven't drafted a wide receiver or linebacker yet. How much is Packers Twitter burning and are you concerned? It could happen with or without trading back. Offensive line, defensive line, cornerback, and some combo in the first three rounds. And secondly, what number does Tyler Johnson wear in green and gold? He was number 6 in college, but Whitewater Jesus is 16. Maybe 86? Do we want that Bostic curse on him? Speaking of 86s, Jesus Christ, Donald Lee doesn't get talked about enough. He was solid in the later Favre years. Okay, getting off track. How soon will the Packers Pro Shop have Tyler Johnson for us? Row the boat all the way down the Fox River. God, I love the draft. Not to get all sentimental, but those are my fave podcasts to record in the OPOD days. Can't wait for this episode to drop. Then he sent me a link to Andy Williams singing "The Most Wonderful Time of the Year." I don't even, holy shit. Okay, where do I start? Let's go with how concerned am I if they haven't taken a wide receiver or linebacker yet as of next Saturday morning? Oh, I'm going to be real concerned. And you're right, it definitely could happen. I've said for the longest time, those are their biggest needs, inside linebacker and wide receiver. So holy shit, yeah, I'm going to be kind of freaking out. I'm sure Packers Twitter will be eating itself alive. What number does Tyler Johnson wear? Can we just give him 6? Why don't we just give him 6? That works for me. I'm not giving him the Bostic curse. Why would we do that? And yes, Donald Lee doesn't get talked about enough. Donald Lee, in the Week 17 game in 2010, where the Packers beat the Bears to get into the playoffs, they won 10-3. Who caught the only touchdown? Donald Lee. Yup, it was Donald Lee. So Yoni doesn't get talked about enough. You're absolutely right. How soon will they have the Tyler Johnson? God, I hope by next... If they take him this weekend, I hope by the end of April we can get our Tyler Johnson jerseys. Hell yeah. I hope that answered everything you asked, Adam. I love you, man. Thank you for sending that. Okay. So that about wraps up. This is the longest episode I've ever done on PackersTalk.com. Over an hour now. A huge thank you to everyone who sent along a question or comment. I really do appreciate it. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Now I'm going to reveal the format for what will be my final pre-draft podcast. I think you're going to get a kick out of this, or maybe you'll shake your head. I'm going to be doing a live mock draft using the Draft Network Mock Draft Simulator. I will be doing the mock as I'm recording the show. I'm going to pause before each Packers pick, tell you which players of note are still on the board before making the selection I think is best. That's right, move over Brian Gutekunst. Chris Lempis is hopping in the GM chair for one night. I'm sure most of you will disagree with my picks, but that's all part of the fun, right? I can't wait. So that'll be available either Tuesday night or more likely Wednesday morning. I'll, of course, keep you all posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so much for listening, Packers Nation. I love ya. Go, Pack, go.